stay standing as I read from Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. On that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with him in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And then there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Father, in these moments, I pray that you will give our ears to hear over the storms that go in our world and our lives. And I pray that you give me the words to speak, even though I am a jar of clay, a broken vessel. May this morning be a reminder to us how you are with us, even in our storms. We ask this through Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Storms, we all have them. We go through them. They come in a variety of shapes and sizes. I'm going to read you words of a song that I pulled out this morning and listened to. This was not originally in my message this morning, but it was one that I needed. And I thought of it as I was getting ready, listened to it on my way here. There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, God cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, my brother, I know he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, he will carry you. I needed those words. Maybe sometimes you do too. Our text this morning is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm using Mark. It's the story of when Jesus calms the sea. It's a story that is a reminder just of the power that Jesus has. Now, here's the setting. Last week when I was here giving the message on the calling of Matthew, following Jesus, that was about 6 months prior to this, somewhere in that neighborhood. A lot has happened between there. Jesus has done a variety of miracles beyond that, a lot of teaching. And on this particular occasion, he's been teaching quite a bit, telling a lot of parables, going through a lot of those parables that we see and read, especially read in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is telling all of these things, and then he's pulling the disciples away. Jesus, like us, even though he was fully God, was also man. And he was getting tired. And he said, "Hey, let's get in this boat and go to the other side of the sea." So they get in, they're on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to head over to the east side. So they get into the boats, and all of a sudden a storm hits while they're in the middle of the sea. Now the Sea of Galilee is somewhat almost 700 feet below sea level, so it's down there low. And the mountainous area right around it is somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 feet. And so the winds would come over the mountainous area and come down with a little bit of force. Some person called it it's like a microcosm of the Atlantic Ocean. tells us, Mark does, that a strong, fierce gale wind, the word there basically is this hurricane-like wind, comes upon the sea. Waves are breaking over the boat, filling it with water. Can you imagine? They're on this, and the water is going everywhere, sloshing back and forth. The boat, if you've ever been on the boat, I've been on the boat once where the water seemed really choppy. It was a canoe. It was a 34-foot canoe, actually. We were on the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi River moves very slowly. But when we first put in, we went through one of the locks and dams. And as we came out of that onto the other side, there were a bunch of barges. And the water was going up and down and up and down. And all I could think of was, we're going to get thrown over the boat. The boat will capsize, and I'm going to get caught in the undertow. I prayed a little bit that day. This would have been a lot worse for them. And these guys are fishermen, a lot of them. And for them to be afraid, you know it had to have been a bad storm. They're afraid, and Jesus is asleep. How do you sleep through a storm like that? Either you've been conditioned to do so. You no longer hear your husband or wife snore. So you have learned to sleep through it. Or you've just gotten used to the noise. Or, you know what? You're just calm and you're okay with anything that happens while you're asleep, and you're going to get your sleep. Or you're just really, really tired. And Jesus is tired, so he's sleeping. And the disciples are freaking out, and they're sloshing water out of the boat, trying to get it out. And then they go yell at Jesus. Hey, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care? We're perishing here. Get up. There's two trains of thought here. There's one that, you know, they've been with Jesus for a while. They've watched Jesus do amazing, miraculous things. And they've said, come on, Jesus, get up. Do what you can do. The other train of thought is, and I tend to agree with the second one, and I'll give you a reason, tell you why here in a second. The second reason is, Jesus, get up, help us. There's water coming in the boat. Don't you care? We're all going to drown here. If you don't get up and help us do something, we can't take it in any longer. I tend to agree a little bit more with that one, maybe, because the first one, it's their reaction to what, when Jesus actually does something. If they were expecting that, I don't think their reaction would have been the same. But here they are, freaking out in the middle of the storm, wanting it to stop. And I got to thinking that, you know what, sometimes, excuse me, yeah, I've noticed I drink more water at the second service than I do the first. Too much talking. And some of you go, yep, he's too much talking. But I realize that sometimes in the middle of our storms, that's when we tend to lose sight of our faith. Oh, some storms are little and it's not that much, but other storms that come in our worlds, if we're not careful, and especially in the middle of the night, we can talk ourselves into or out of a lot of things. As Christians, we must not expect everything to always go so smoothly in our journey to heaven. We must not think it strange if we have to endure sickness or loss or bereavements. Speaking of bereavements, back here, the whole Wilson clan is not here today. Tara's dad died this morning. And you know what? Death happens a lot, does it not? And sometimes some deaths can send us in a spiral if we're not careful, depending on who it is, and creates a storm in our world. But think of the fear that a woman might experience when she finds the lump in her breast. Think of the paranoia when somebody finds out that their house has been broken into. What did they take? Will they be back? Imagine the devastation when mom and dad get the call. their child was killed in a car accident. Imagine the dread and disappointment of somebody who's just been laid off. Storms come in a variety of ways. Sometimes they're on the outside and they affect us. Sometimes they're on the inside. Going through with our thoughts. Sometimes we wish they would never come, but they do. Now, forgiveness and pardon and grace along the way in our journey and glory at the end, those are the things that our Savior has promised us. But He has not promised us a life with no storms, with no afflictions. He loves us too much to promise us that. In fact, it's sometimes the afflictions through them that He teaches us the lessons we'd never learn otherwise. It's sometimes in the affliction that He shows us our emptiness and our weakness, drawing us ever nearer to the throne of grace, purifying our affections, weaning us from this world a little bit, and maybe helping us long for the next. But here's Jesus, having just been laying there asleep in the boat till the disciples come and wake Him up from this. And then we see Jesus once again about to demonstrate His power. These disciples have watched Jesus demonstrate His power over disease, healing all kinds of things in people, in His power over demons. In fact, when they hit land after this session, they're going to be in an area called, by a city named Gadara, in the Gerasene area. Jesus is going to cast demons out of a couple of guys. They're going to go into pigs. Pigs are going to go over a cliff and then tick off all the pig owners. They've watched Jesus demonstrate His power over death. Some you might not have seen, but Luke tells about the story that happens in between last week and this week. We're at a funeral procession. This widow and her only son, and Jesus raises His son back. They've watched Jesus demonstrate power, and yet we find in this moment, when the Savior is in the boat with them, they're quite fearful. But Jesus gets up and He rebukes the wind and the sea, and He just says, "Hush, quiet, peace, be still." That's all He had to do. And the wind and the sea were reminded of the voice of their Creator, and they listened and they obeyed. One person described this as being a double miracle. Not only did the wind cease, but when the wind ceases, if you've ever been near a lake, or when the wind finally dies down, it takes a little bit for the sea to start settling down. And in this moment, the wind dies and the sea becomes perfectly calm. That is some power. Not only death and demons and disease, but now He's showing His power over nature, over creation. But I guess if you're the one who created it, excuse me, you'd be able to do that. Excuse me. I mentioned that sometimes storms that come in our world, sometimes they're on the outside, sometimes they're on the inside. An old professor of mine, he writes this: "With Jesus, nothing is impossible. No stormy passions are so strong that He cannot tame them. No temper is so rough and violent that He cannot change it. No conscience is so chaotic that He cannot speak to it and make it calm. Christ can do miracles upon the heart." Sometimes Jesus calms storms. Sometimes, instead of calming the storm, He calms His child. And so in this moment, Jesus calms a storm But he's having to remind the disciples their need for calm, even in the midst of the storm. And I think that in this, Jesus, in his, and I would say maybe, we weren't there to know exactly, but I think in a kind of a calm and compassionate manner, Jesus, in essence, says to the guys, where'd your faith go, guys? I was sleeping, why weren't you? Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. You know, God doesn't always deal with us according to our sins and iniquities. And I'm thankful for that. He sees our weakness. He's aware of our shortcomings. He knows all the defects of our faith and our hope and our love and our courage. And he bears with us continually, even through all of that. But maybe you too, like the disciples, you get discouraged. You get discouraged in your storms. You get discouraged in the storms that you maybe still have or have to go through. You get discouraged how you cannot seem to handle it when it comes. You see that your faith sometimes just seems so little, or that your hope seems too distant. Your love seems to be lacking. Your courage may be hiding behind the covers. And when Jesus calms this storm, I don't know to imagine, I think it'd be kind of cool to just be there in that moment, to have watched all of that, and to have watched Jesus and then turned around and looked at the face of the disciples and wonder what's going on in their head. Jesus, when he asked them, why were you afraid? Did you have no faith? It's kind of this word of cowardice there. But then Mark says they became very much afraid. And he uses a different word for afraid. This one is from where we get the word term fear and phobias. But they realized they're in the presence of someone holy, someone big, someone who can do great things. I imagine if they were on dry land, they might have taken their shoes off as Moses did and Joshua did. And they're in the boat. They then ask this question. We see their sense of reverence and awe, and they ask, who is this? Now, in chapter 1, verse 27, the question was asked, what is this? In regard to Jesus, when he was teaching, they said, what is this? A new teaching with authority. And now they say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I don't know if it takes more power. I'm guessing in with God it doesn't. It's all there, always, at all time. But to see him heal people the way he did, and to cast demons out of people, and to even raise somebody from the dead, to be even more amazed and astonished when he calms the wind and the sea, when he did what we call acts of God, when he was able to calm those things. Jesus just kept surprising and astonishing them over and over, demonstrating that he was more and more like God. In fact, over and over, Jesus showed them what God was like. In fact, he showed them that he was not just like God, but that he was God. And little by little, they kept putting their trust in him, even when it seemed like it was three steps forward and two steps back. My guess is we've been there, where we feel like we've made progress and then we digress. But maybe that has been your journey too. And we get it. We understand it. Storms come. Storms will come. They always do. They always will. Sometimes Jesus calms the storms in your life. And sometimes he is working at calming you. And I want you to be encouraged. Encouraged by this, that he is in the midst of the waves with you. Oh, they were a happy family. A prominent Chicago law partner and his wife Anna and their four daughters. Living a life filled with promise. A life of happiness. Possibility. To the outside world, Horatio Spafford had it all. He had wealth and status. They were full of joy and happiness in this life, but fate, however cruel and unpredictable, was already knocking at the door. In October of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire tore through the city's heart. A summer of droughts and many of the buildings, all built with wood, combined to make Chicago a tinderbox. Horatio had invested much of his wealth in real estate right along Lake Michigan, and he lost most all of that. Not only that, a couple years later, as they tried to rebuild, another economic downturn took a lot more of his money. Wealth was crumbling. What status they had, it seemed to be closing behind them. And sometimes you just want to get away, like the commercial says. And so that was the plans. The plan was to go to England on a vacation just to get away from it all. So his wife and four daughters hopped aboard a vessel headed for England. Horatio had to stay back because of some other business stuff, but he would soon join them. Seven days into the journey, on November 22nd, 1873, tragedy struck. Their ship was hit by, ironically, another ship coming from England. And in 12 minutes, the ship sank. 226 of the 303 souls that were on there were killed. All four of Horatio's daughters. His wife was found on a piece of driftwood unconscious. And when she got to Wales, she sent back a telegram to her husband and said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Some of you have maybe heard this story before. A variety of places. It's been told through churches. As soon as Horatio received this message, he hopped aboard a ship to go be with Anna. And around the part where the wreck was, the ship captain hollered at him and let him know that this was the place. And after grieving for a little while, given in by grief, but yet sustained by his faith, he knew his daughters weren't just down under the sea, but he knew that they were above. And so along the way, he penned the words to a song that brought he and his family and countless others comfort. The words were these: "When peace like a river attendeth my way." When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, and though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Storms. Can't imagine losing four daughters, having four, nor losing them all at once. You all face different storms that come and go. I want to remind you and encourage you this. Storms will come. They always do. But sometimes Jesus calms the storms in your life. But often, he calms his child in the middle of the storm. For you see, he's in the midst of the waves with you. And we can say, it is well with my soul.
Yeah.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. I see it from two sides. One side is us keeping our eyes on Jesus in the midst of our storms. But the other side is this is what he's saying to us. Through it all, my eyes are on you. I don't know what storms you may be going through. Whether they're stuff that's hitting you from the outside or maybe it's stuff going on in the end. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'll be up here. Shane's up here. We'd love to pray with you. Just remember, storms will come. They always will. They always do. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Sounds a little depressing this morning. Yeah. It's not. It is actually a good reminder. That's where our eyes need to be. Some of you maybe needed to be encouraged. Maybe a little courage poured into you. Kind of keep going. Maybe some of you just need the reminder of where to keep your eyes. Some of you may think your faith is quite small. Jesus is patient with you. He bears with us all. We all are weak. Yeah. And I pray as you make your way out that you enjoy the day. And that as Jesus goes with you, you don't forget that his eyes are on you. And I'd be amiss, a young man who did our communion med today, Braden. Man, I knew him when he was a baby and watched a lot of things. When he's 3, 5, 7, 9, I never dreamed he would be up here doing what he did. Well done, well said. Yeah. May you all have a good day.